Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Wow, Matt, fellow adventurers. Once again, we are playing as Sir Croakington, and we are in the headquarters of the Silver Quest. And there's a new adventure to... The description of the room has changed. This is a new description. It was added in after we finished the adventure marked. The head of a Mark Twoll, a beast whose demise you brought about a few episodes back, is affixed to a wooden plaque that hangs just above the mantel. Alright, now we can move on to the next adventure. It's called Dark Circle. It's by The Mysterious, VWK, and it's an Oakenstone Mask-inspired adventure. She who lay bare the sinister circle's very existence will face a swift and brutal redress. Now, I think I'm sure if you search for Oakenstone Mask or just Oakenstone in the podcast list, you'll probably be able to find the original version of that adventure somewhere. I may or may not link to it. Anyway, let us begin. Normal or scout? Normal. Let us begin. And so it begins. The village of Marwain, north of Stonewell. Barmgear levels an accusatory finger at you as he kicks closed the meeting house door. Inside the small wooden structure, the three other members of the village council rise from their chairs and swiftly move to encircle you. Do you not think we would grow wise to your prying ways? Exclaims Bramgear, his lengthy white light hair splashing over his now frail shoulders. You and those you undoubtedly serve are no better than we, the ones you will prosecute. So all is laid bare. Or is it? Let us make certain it is. Bramgear steps back from the three men. As the three men around close in, each of them now brandishing long, curved, black-bladed knives. The sacrificial blades of the Kuwand. Now, there's a law book entry to the Kuwand. The Kuwand. Kuwand is a name given to a secretive religious order whose members are dedicated to have dedicated their lives to worshipping and serving the dark god Joef. Although it is believed the number of Kuwand has dwindled precipitously over the many centuries the order has been in existence, but not precipitously enough. Members of this sinister group can be found in all corners of the known world, across almost every walk of life. While the official ceremonial guard of the Kuwand consists of black hooded robes, or, at the very least, entirely black attire, members of the Dark Order strive to blend into the world around them, assuming normal professions and wearing normal clothing. Many believe the ultimate goal of the Kuwand is to find a way to allow Joeth and his servants to enter the world, which I think would be a very, very bad thing indeed. It isn't known whether some Kurund wield a special dark magic granted them due to their strong association with Joeth and his minions, or spellcasters among the Order simply make use of more traditional magical disciplines. Kurund have long been associated with crime throughout Swith. Tales of roaming bands of Kurund, robbing and murdering, are not entirely uncommon, particularly in the more remote corners of the world. Over the centuries, several prominent personages have been rumoured to have been allied with the Kurund, with a few of those believed to have actually been members of the Dark Order. Now, there's another law book entry for the actual god. Let's read up on that. Joeth is the dark god of enduring evil. Alright, being a bit honest there, aren't you? I mean, a truly evil god would say, I am the way, the truth, and the light, and I am all goodness. And then just go around killing people all the time. Though some question the existence of this deity, he is worshipped by a religious order known as the Kurund. Some believe that Joeth is one of the more powerful demon lords who directly serves the great demon Ixion, who is the big bad of this entire setting, and I'm not going to get into that right now. You came here at the request of an agent of the Thane, being Thane Porrand in this case. The agent, at the Thane's direction, hired the Silver Quest and tasked the illustrious outfit with uncovering evidence of an evil wound which have long lain hidden in this remote mining settlement. It would appear you just found what you came here looking for. Well, at least you're being honest about it, so that when I kill you, I won't have any doubts about it. So, Trithic, Silver Quest headquarters. Several days ago, just prior to embarking upon your trek to Marwain, Brithwen, moving up from tending to the already impossibly, looking up from tending to the already impossibly sharp blade of his sword, again thanks you for tackling the mission in Marwain. He's quick to point out that he would have seen to himself if not for a lingering injury in his white leg. Just wouldn't do for the quest to put forth anything less than its best possible showing, he says. After all, we're hardly the only adventurers for hire these days. Though we're still the only ones worth hiring. 2 days ago, one of Thane Porrin's agents, a boisterous, grey-bearded man named Polowan, hired the Silver Quest to investigate the village of Marwain, a remote mining settlement north of Stonewell, in the stone hills of northwest Tysa. According to Polowan, the Thane believes that a sinister presence may be lurking. Polowan seemed all out of sorts, didn't he? Asked Prithem, struggling as he returns to toiling away at his blade. Well, since it came from the Thane, it's hardly the sort of job we'll turn away. Well, who can say? There might be something to it. I do wonder, though, what makes them suspicious of the village. Oh, well, Polowan can keep his secrets. Best of luck out there, my friend. As you prepare to depart for Marwain, dreading what promises to be a long, taxing journey to the northwest corner of the kingdom, you are approached by Teek, the once again member of the Silver Quest. Holds up both his clenched fists and asks you to choose the right or the left. Pick one of them, he says, smirking. So I can go left or right or refuse to choose a hand. You know what? I'm not going to refuse to choose, because he'll probably just, I think there's a chance I'll get something. Anyway, let's see. One or two. chooses two, so that means I'm going to choose the white hand. Teek opens his white hand, revealing a wavering bone shard in the shape of a sword hilt. I think it might bring you a bit of luck, he says, smiling, as he hands you the shard. It's a hilt-shaped wavering bone shard. Alright. This small shard of wavering bone, in the shape of a sword hilt, was given to you by Teek, who seemed to claim that it would bring him good luck. Teek told you that he found the shard years ago, though he refused to say just where that was. When you inquire about the piece of wavering bone now resting in the palm of your hand, Teek tells you he's long carried it with him. He's certain it's played a role in various bits of good fortune he's experienced over the years. Found that years ago, he says. But don't ask me to tell you where it was, because I won't do it. I wasn't supposed to be there. Anyway, I want you to have it. You thank him as you tuck the tiny shard safely amongst your belongings. I could ask him what was in his other hand, but he's not going to say, because... Okay, I'll ask him. Teek immediately shakes his head without opening a handy question, places it into the torn pocket of his hide vest. It's not quite the same sort of sport if you expect me to answer something like that, he says, smirking. Well, don't fret. You've made a good choice. Don't think you've anything to regret. And of course, if you want to find out what's in the other hand, you'll just have to play the game yourself, or look it up on the wiki. But no, play the game yourself. Play the game yourself. Or maybe I got the other item in Zoop's adventure several years back. In which case, listen to that one too. Maybe you got a different item. Well, you'll just have to see, won't you? But it might be the same. Or maybe Zoop refused to choose. Just before setting off on what promises to be a lengthy trek to Marwane, you bid farewell to your only fellow Silver Quest members currently present. Both Teek and Priffin wish you luck, though the latter was quick to remind you somewhat needlessly. So stay on your guard. Strange part of the kingdom up that way, says Priffin. Watch yourself. Don't get in over your head. If such a thing can ever be helped. Perhaps ask around a bit in Marwane. Seek out their village council and see if they know and are willing to help tell you anything. My guess is you won't uncover much of anything. But if the matter is seemingly important enough for the Thane to take an interest, now can we at least not put forth a reasonable effort? The absurdity of Prithun, whose litany of his embellished problems have prevented him from tackling the most menial tasks, talking about reasonable effort, is almost enough to make you laugh out loud. Opting for decorum, you stifle the looming outburst and tell him you'll take every necessary precaution. As I knew you would, he says, reaching his shoulder across. Off to Marwane. Safe travels and a swift, victorious return. The village meeting house, Marwane, the present. Brungrain mutters something in a sinister foreign tongue and motions to the three men closing in around you, the council members each brandishing the long, curved, black blades of the Corund, spread out slightly as they continue to edge closer. We have arrived at the end of your inquiry, says Bramgear, his voice almost completely devoid of inflection. Let's just say that I said it like that. With your mind racing, you spin to face the closest of the three men closing in around you. The white-haired village elder, long a prominent member of the mining settlement's governing council, stares at you with contempt, his gnarled fingers wrapped tightly around the hilt of his black blade knife. Unbelievers are a plague, he hisses as he lunges at you. This is the village elder. And since he's a Corund member, the only option is death. Of course, maybe we could figure out how these people became Kurund? I mean, presumably this Kurund works like other cults, is it's they find people who are, you know, without much of a social network, love bomb them, and then when they're in too deep, they introduce them to all the crazy stuff, all the evil maniacal stuff. That, or as is the case in most religion, people who come into religion, their parents were of that religion, and by the time they got exposed to any other ideology, they were already in too deep, or something like that. Who knows. The old man swipes at you with his blade, deals you a brutal blow for 9 damage. But I swamp him. I wallop him with my walloping walloper. And the smasher wallops your foe for 16 damage, and he is slain. 2 XP. The next man, white-haired and heavy-set, is almost instantly upon you, slashing out wildly with his long, curved, black-bladed knife. It's a village elder. Let us begin combat. Swipes at you with his blade. I wallop with my club and is slain. Another 2 XP. The third man, his face twisted into an expression of malicious glee, steps over the bloodied remains of his fallen cohorts and attacks. It's a village elder. Alright, it looks like these people are pretty fanatic, because they don't particularly care if they die. Because presumably they'll get some sort of really cool reward when they die. Possibly. Who knows? I kill all these Quran people before I can ask them about the finer points of theology. Swipes to his blade and is slain in 2 rounds. 2 XP. Bramger. His placid expression betraying not a hint of emotion, draws a long iron wad and swiftly levels the device at you. A powerful wave of nausea instantly wells up from within the core of your being. With your head swimming and your legs starting to buckle, you struggle to stave off the effects of the current leader's dark magic. Alright, picking a number. Bonus of 60. 20 from aura, 20 from mind, 20 from spirit. Got to get 75 or more, or I'll be... Well, something bad will happen. Pick now. 92. Success. In a remarkable display of mental fortitude, you manage to fend off the more devastating effects of the current leader's powerful magic. Determined not to let Bramgor make further use of the iron wad, you lunge forward to attack the startled leader. Elder, that is. Before you can reach Bramgear, the grey-bearded elder falls back and slips to the west. His stoic expression transforms into a bitter scowl. A low, pulsing hum fills the room. You whip your head in the direction of the sound and find a large, black portal hovering against the wall to your right. A series of grim snarls erupt from the churning core of the magic gate. Come forth from your eternal prison, servant of Joeth, intones Bramgear as he backs across the room. I summon you, Casual, rid us of the vermin that defies our master. Oh. Bramgear cries out in agony, collapses to a heap on the floor. His body shudders violently as a deafening bellow fills the room. His echoes reverberating through the timbered floor. Spinning to face the portal, you're horrified to find the inky silhouette of a massive spider emerging from the magic gate. Considering he's been summoned by a Kurund, that spider probably isn't going to be friendly. As the chorus of unsettling sounds continues to spew from the portal, the large shadow spider swiftly and silently advances upon you, bent on executing the will of a master, both eternal and unforgiving. With nowhere to run, you defiantly hold your ground against the summoned menace. This is Kazuol the Fell, and it is time to begin combat.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
The shadow spider relentlessly attacks you. The spider stinger stabs into your flesh. Your body score helps you to avoid being paralyzed by the spider venom, but I still take 6 damage. The same again, but for 8 damage. Ooh, and the smasher wallops my foe, 13 damage. Keep going, and it is slain. Well, it stays slain. No, it doesn't. 5 XP. The shadow spider collapses into an oozing heap, only to rise again moments later. Its spindly legs and bulky torso, no longer shadow, but living flesh. Oh, well, that just makes killing you easier. Once again, you find yourself struggling to fend off the massive spider's savage attack. It's Kazuol the Fell, but this time, in a fleshy form, begin combat. The massive spider relentlessly attacks you. I relentlessly attack it. We're all being relentless here. And it is slain. 6 XP. The massive arachnid's legs buckle and the creature collapses in a twisting heap, only to rise again moments later and resume its merciless attack. Cross the skull again. Third time's a charm, I guess. The shadow spider relentlessly attacks you. Its stinger stabs into my flesh, but once again I avoid the paralysis, so I only take 6 damage. And again, for 6 damage. Keeps going, and it is slain. 7 XP. The massive spider again staggers back and collapses to the floor, its wound-riddled torso oozing a thick, green, foul-smelling ichor. Stepping away from the spider's twitching corpse, you glance to your right and spot Bramgear sprawled out, face down on the floor, his ragged breathing audible even from where you stand. A guttural snarl echoes through the meeting house. You snap your gaze back to the remains of the spider, only to find the hideous creature is once again upright, slowly and steadily retreating to the portal. Okay, I didn't destroy it, but I drew it off. I guess that means third time was the charm. In a matter of seconds, the black giant spider reaches the black gate and topples into the churning vortex. At that moment, you suddenly realise an unseen force is drawing you towards the magic gate. The portal, seemingly larger than it was a moment ago, begins to emit a pulsing hum. Suddenly, your eyes are drawn to where Barmgear's body is. Where Barmgear's body, as if lifted by invisible hands, rises several feet off the floor before hurtling across the room and into the gaping mouth of the portal. Oh, if he's... well, I guess he's lucky he's already dead. Although, considering all the stuff that goes on down there, he might not stay dead. Instinct takes over as you valiantly struggle against a powerful, invisible force steadily drawing you closer to the magical gate's churning core. So, I could attempt to free myself from the invisible force or stop struggling against it. You know, I'm going to stop struggling against it because, well, whenever I see a portal, I've always got to go inside. Stop struggling against it. You cease struggling against the force that's drawing you steadily again, steadily closer to the portal. As you're dragged to within just a few feet of the magic gate's inky, churning core, your vision begins to blur and you suddenly feel lightheaded. In the next instance, everything goes black. Your eyes creep open and your blurred sight greets a long, broad, torch-lit hall, at the end of which stands a towering stone statue of a hideous spider. You stagger to your feet while attempting to clear the muddle of thoughts seemingly bent on preventing you from making sense of your new surroundings. A low, almost reassuring hum from behind you immediately garners your attention. You turn towards a sound and relieved to find a large black portal, identical to the one by which you arrived here, hovering against the wall near the end of the passage. Alright, is that going to be my way out? Or will it have monsters gate in to attack me? I guess we'll see. As you stand staring at the corridor, the massive spider statue, perhaps 100 yards away, you suddenly feel compelled to move towards it. Instinct tempers the compulsion you weigh in place, but the urge to begin making your way along the passage seems to grow stronger with every passing second. I'm going to proceed towards the spider statue, but not because you're forcing me to, but because I want to, because I think I might be able to get some loot or fight some bad guys. Proceed towards the spider statue. You've taken only a few steps when a horrific sight suddenly looms out of the shadows gathered at the edge of the passage. Barmgear, his lifeless, wound-riddled body moving in a rigid, jerking motion, staggers into your path, moaning softly. You instinctively assume a defensive stance as the wizened corpse of the village elder stumbles forward, brandishing a long-bladed knife. It's Barmgear, and he's dead. But he's too stupid to stop moving. Begin combat. Barmgear stabs at you with his knife. And I wallop him with my club. And down he goes again. 5 XP. You step back from Barmgear's corpse. And watch as two more wizened cadavers stagger out of the shadows on the left side of the passage and move to attack. Each of them wielding an ancient decayed sword. Hold your ground and engage them, of course. I mean, I could flee, but Sir Croakington never flees. Okay. With a very few exceptions, Sir Croakington never flees. Hold your ground and engage them. Brandishing its rusted blade, the first of the undead fiends fearlessly attacks. This is a wizened corpse. And now it's going to be a sunken corpse, you know, once I beat it. The undead foe viciously attacks. The walloper, the smasher, wallops your foe for 30 damage. and it is slain. 5 XP. Staggering over the remains of its counterpart, the second cadaver moans loudly as it slashes at you with its decayed sword. It's another wizened corpse. The undead foe slashes at you. Your enemy deals you a savage blow for 12 damage. And it's nearly done. Another savage blow for 17 damage. And then it is slain. 5 XP. You step past the remains of the two undead fiends, only to find yourself confronted by an unexpected and most unwelcome sight. Moving towards you and down the centre of the corridor, its five functioning legs seemingly close to buckling beneath the bulk of its hideous torso, is the massive black spider, identified by Bramgear as Carousel, servant of Joath. The fiendish creature, its lower abdomen oozing a thick green ichor, steadily bears down on you. Hold your ground and engage, Kassar. Of course, I mean, I could flee, but... flee? I mean, it's not even complete. I've already beat it three times. Great, Kassar. They move forward and meet the spider's advance, bravely engaging the fearsome servant of a dark, immortal master, Carousel the Fell. Now come on now, you've lost three legs. The spider's stinger stabs into your flesh as the spider relentlessly attacks you. You've been paralysed by the spider's venom and be unable to act during the next round of combat and also take 12 damage. Fortunately, the spider doesn't take advantage of that and does zero damage as I move on to attacking it regularly. Relentlessly attacks you, stabs, does the sting again, but not paralysed, thanks to a high body store. And slain. Will it stick this time? 6 XP. You step away from Kowasu's tattered carcass, keen to avoid the torrent of peachy green ichor spilling out of the many wounds whittling the hideous creature. Suddenly, the remains of the massive spider dissolve into a whippling puddle of black liquid that swiftly melts into the floor and vanishes now. Is that it finally dying? Or is it just use some sort of shadow magic-y skills to retreat? I guess we'll never know. Anyway, 256 experience to general. Every torch along the passage suddenly goes out, plunging the corridor into pitch darkness. I've got my own torches. Perhaps trust in it was misplaced, says a soft, masculine voice from somewhere in the darkness in front of you. It will not survive to repeat its failure. Though its purposeful uses remain numerous, you, on the other hand, are somewhat remarkable. Which is why I've given you a small gift. Do what you will with it. So discover the item you've been given. Carefully peruse your inventory. The voice was silent for several moments. Now I suppose you desire to leave this place. I cannot fathom such a desire. But I will not begrudge you for possessing it. Now, what are the items? Now, it's going to be a misc item. Alright. Scrolling down to misc. Alright, and granite key, yellow paper. There's some keys. Well, this is a severed goblin head. That's new. This is the severed, rotting head of a cave goblin. You don't recall ever seeing this gruesome object until it somehow turned up among your possessions. I think that's the new item. And also has an encumbrance of one. Alright, I guess I'm going to be let out now. The unsettling voice fades away, and you suddenly find yourself tumbling headlong through a frigid void. In the blink of an eye, the darkness vanishes, and you once again find yourself standing in the meeting house. You turn to examine the portal, only to discover the magic gate is no longer there. Still reeling from the unexpected turn of events, you compose yourself as best as you can before setting off to make known the sinister discovery you made and the grim scene that unfolded here. You only hope that those to whom you make your report aren't in league with the insidious element you'd uncovered at the very heart of Marwane. In the aftermath of the incident of Marwane Meeting House, it takes months to sort out, and ultimately involves the formation of a new village council. Several of the settlement's most prominent citizens are suspected of conspiring with a small but growing cabal of Kowund, a dark circle which sought control of Marwane's mines, with designs to use the profits to further its sinister agenda. Makes sense. I mean, money is useful for pretty much anything. In all, 11 villagers are accused of having affiliation with the Kowund, as well as various related ill deeds. 5 of the accused, following a series of trials, are hanged. The remaining 6 manage to escape from Marwane's makeshift gale and flee into the wilds. The bits and pieces of news that reach you at the Silver Crest headquarters in Twithic, by way of Prithen, fill you with hope for the mining village. A gruesome chapter in the settlement's history is now closed, clearing a way for the promise of a better tomorrow for those who toil and make their home in Marwane. Late one night, several months after the events in Marwane, the headquarters of Silver Crest in Twithic, Prithem sighs and begins fiddling in earnest with one of his boots. He glances around the room, pausing in turn as his gaze first passes over you, and then Teak, bathed in the flickering glow of the fire. The face of your long-time confederate seems strangely drawn. "I think we might do another bit about what happened up in Marwane," he says, smiling. "I must admit the entire situation, as it unfolded, is quite ghastly. I'm not sure what to make of it all, other than to think that perhaps things are becoming a bit dire all over." Teak looks up from the book he appears to be only half-heartedly studying, making a face at Prithen and winks at you. "Start with the bit about the spider and the portal, if you would," says Prithen. "Start with a bit about the spider and the portal, if you would," says Prithen, oblivious to Teak's silent commentary. "And take pride in knowing that my request is at least in part due to your great skill as a yarn spinner, Sir Croakington. One of the best I've ever known." As you conclude what must be the 10th telling of your account of the events that unfolded in Marwane, Prithen nods and again commends you on your handling of the difficult and dangerous scenario. "There's no doubt that anyone lesser wouldn't have survived to tell of it," he says, turning his attention to mending one of the straps on his left boot. "It's quite remarkable when you think of it. And what will become of it? Will there be any sort of new revelations about the powers of the age in which we find ourselves quite hopelessly wallowing? We're left to wonder at such things, I suppose." Teak laughs and closes the books he'd been pursuing. "A very fine showing, to be sure," says Teak, looking at you and raising an eyebrow. "However, let us not forget who supplied you with that lucky little charm. You can laugh at such things, I know, but some around here choose to do so with alarming regularity. But luck isn't to be cast aside. There is skill, there is determination, there is face, and then there is luck. I happen to place luck quite high on that list." Before you can respond to Teak's playful lecture, he winks at you and motions with his head in the direction of Prithem, upon whose fixed face is affixed a broad frown. Please don't stop there," says Prithem, without looking up from his bout. "Oh, so very amusing, Teak. I'll all be most interested to hear what other wisdom you have to impart. Unless, of course, what's just been sprouted is the one of it. Teak sighs, smirks, and reopens his book. And that is the end of this adventure, with 512 experience to general and 64 experience to all skills and powers. And no more adventures have been unlocked with the Silver Quest. So, I mean, that doesn't mean there won't be any more in the future. But for now we are done with that order. So what shall I do next? Let's see. I think next time we're going to go to Thane Vale. Because we have a dragon to fight. But until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.